You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members. Welcome to Radical Radio 3CR. You're listening to the Fire Up MUA program, and you're here with the usual compares or hosts, the Victorian Branch Executive Committee, Rob, Dean, Aaron, and myself, David. How are you, everyone?
You might want to introduce yourself, David Ball. Dave works for the MUA in Victoria. Hasn't been cited. He's been surfing in Samoa. You know, having his comeback all tanned. Dyed your hair. Terminators.
No, it's grey, mate. That's the grey.
It's not sun-kissed.
No, it's not. Yes, no, I have been on island time for the last month, and I know the team have been doing a great job with the show, and we've had some positive feedback from the members around that.
We did?
No, we didn't. No.
So I didn't get that email.
But obviously a lot continues to happen in MUA world, and we had a big event last weekend. We all headed off down south to Portland, one of the three main ports in Victoria. And Robbie, that you were born in Portland, weren't you, mate?
No, I wasn't. I was born at the Queen Vic in Lonsdale.
Okay, you grew up in Portland.
I did a little bit of schooling there and left
an impression
on the place. My family all were down there, but that's not why we're there.
No.
We were there because it was the 10th anniversary of the MV Portland dispute, and quite a historical dispute. Everyone's aware of 72 days on a picket line, and then they came in the middle of the night with dogs and security guards and dragged our members out of their bunks off the ship, replaced them with international seafarers, cut the line, and off they went into the sunset. And that was a disgrace.
It was another demonstration of the collusion of capital and the conservative governments, because they've obviously granted visas to get people in to be able to sail an Australian workplace over the horizon.
And we'll have members out there listening who are waiting on an MSIG application.
Yeah.
Who gets held up and can't do it. Got to check everything. Yet they can some random from.
Whisk them in to sail off one of our ships.
Yeah, they did got through, but it was a. So we did head down there, and there was it was held on Friday night of last week, where it's the annual Southwest Trades and Labor Council dinner. It's a William McLean dinner, and they presented an award, the Bob McClure Award, and we were invited. As obviously, the theme of the night was the MV Portland 10th anniversary.
Biggest dispute in the region's history.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, modern history, at least.
Well, I think it's the longest serving seagoing dispute, industrial dispute that we've the MUA's had. Yeah.
And so we had around 42 there out of the 100 odd that came from the region. So it was fantastic to have so many MUA people in the room, both local, Melbourne, a lot of Melbourne, Victorian Melbourne members drove down for it. Amanda Swain went down, our legal officer. We had the ITF there with Maddie and Yappy.
We had
Waldorf and Statler. Now we'll find out if they listen to the show, won't we?
Waldorf and Statler.
Well, I just threw that one in. I thought, yeah. We'll find out if they'd listen to the show now. So, we had Maddie and Yappy, and we the full complement was us four. Dave, you came off leave, got back into Australia Thursday, but you were there Friday, showed great commitment, which was, you know, welcomed by the branch.
We had the two keynote speakers with us.
We did. We had Michelle Myers, who spent quite a bit of time on the picket line, as well as Ian Bray from National Office at the time. He was there, so they were there. We had ex-officials in the room as well. Mark Jones attended. He spent just about, I think, all 72 days there, as good as. So that was great for him to be recognised as well.
We had two ex-crew members from the MV Portland.
Ex-crew members in Brett Colton and
Michael Pawson.
Kiwi Pawson.
Does anyone call him Michael? I think it's just Kiwi.
Kiwi.
I'm
sure his mother did.
And, well, thanks, Aaron. You were a good teacher in another life or something. But we'll move on. And he actually had his wife there, Wendy, who...
He met on the picket line.
Yeah. How about that? There was a few relationships developed on that picket line.
Well, that's the only one I know of.
Oh, okay.
So David, it really was a great night. And as part of that evening, local MUA member Jeff Hodson was awarded the
Activist of the Year.
It's a recognition of someone's activity as a union person, and it was fantastic for the branch to be able to present that award to him. It's only one a year, and they come from all over the region. So, as I said, it was a really terrific night. Dave Cushion was there as well. Dave had to give evidence in the federal court case as well that ensued after the dispute, yeah, where they came after us for...
Fair Work Ombudsman chased down the union minions. And the seafarers.
They were suing all the crew.
Suing the union.
It's funny,
just
isn't it?
Just for fighting to protect their own jobs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Madness.
It really was.
And there's the ITF has identified wage theft from these ship owners right across our coast, and it's scarcely being pursued by, well, the old Fair Work Ombudsman. It was not being pursued by them. They were busy pinning construction workers and chasing down seafarers for trying to protect their jobs. But when it comes to settling the wages, stolen wages of workers,
upwards of $50 million thus far this year.
Yeah.
With the ITF has reclaimed stolen wages.
Unbelievable.
$50 million US.
Yeah.
So it's
crazy.
Yeah. So it was a great uplifting night, and it was fantastic to have so many people, and you know, we get to spend a bit of time with local members down there who we get to see on flying visits in and out. So that was through, you know, some good mix of really young MUA members who want to actually be involved more and all that sort of stuff. So, no, it was a great night. Unfortunately, we were there for the wrong reason because we were celebrating I wouldn't call it a win.
There was a couple of wins. There was a win that all the community got right behind the MUA, yeah, and it became a great struggle for workers down there. It was a win because our members didn't get sued, and the union didn't get sued because we were able to prove that the agreement wasn't relevant at the time when they tried to sue them. And it was a win also because we will continue to fight for our crew to get back on that ship that travels between Western Australia and Victoria, delivering aluminium to Alcoa. And we haven't given up the fight, and even though it's been 10 years, we will keep going one day longer until we get win that.
Absolutely.
We get the crew back on board.
That's certainly the aim. And that's what the strategic fleet stuff's all about, and you know, and that's what the lost wages. So is when they come on the coast, they're earning the money that, and so it's not so advantageous for them to have international crews. So we get that fight up here, right?
The ports minister, Mr. Horn, knows all about the MV Portland. Catherine King, the transport minister, knows all about the MV Portland. So we're not going to stop talking about it until we get a bit of victory down there. So all those people that can have an influence, they need to listen. We're not going away.
Thank you, David.
No worries.
I've said it, I'm right.
Before we go into our first song, we want to talk a little bit about Hamish Patterson.
Yeah, I think we just want to, you know, from the Victorian branch, send out our full support for Hamish, and we call on the Israeli government to release all the people who were sailing on that flotilla. You know, they were humanitarians, trade unionists and aid workers. sending, much needed aid to Gaza. They're now being captured by Israeli forces. So we call on Israel to release them immediately. And we send all our thoughts and best wishes to comrade Hamish Patterson and everyone else that's been held up over there. He is out of the Queensland branch, Seafarer, and a staunch unionist and a very proud MUA member. Hamish is a great fella, and we wish him all the best over there and his speedy return home.
And we also call on the Australian government to play a much more key role in the release of those people, mate. I heard Richard Mail say, "I will offer consular support." Fuck off, Richard.
Yeah.
That's just a joke.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not enough.
And they've got to do something about it. So get off your back, Australian government, and support Hamish and support those people, and let's get this situation sorted out in the Middle East. Can't continue.
No, I can't. That flotilla of people were unarmed, simply going to offer aid to the Palestinians.
And they were kidnapped in international waters.
Absolutely. After hiding in Turkey, I think, was it Turkey? They were hiding for a little while.
They had problems with fire in something in the engine room. One of the flotilla boats actually got through. Did you know that?
Yeah, I just seen some footage probably only half an hour ago. Come through. It was amazing. The welcoming that they got when they pulled up on the shore there.
Yeah, that's right. It was amazing.
Also, they broke the blockade.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It's been an amazing effort by those activists and those people willing to put their own lives at risk. Palestinian people and the interests of peace.
Some food and some medical supplies and all that sort of stuff that is desperately needed.
So we'll go to our first song. It's by Cheek Face and it's called "You Always Want to Bomb the Middle East." Hope Cheek you enjoy
face.
It.
You finally. Cheek Face.
He's tall, he's lean, he reeks of gasoline, and he has perfect credit if you know what I mean. He is the air conditioning man, and he is keeping you cool with his giant fan. And I, on the other hand, well, I hope this bagel will never end. But he's your ruthless dictator, he's your enlightened plutocrat. He is dancing on the table in a shirt made of hats. You didn't start the bonfire of amenities, but you're tossing in our clothes and our humanities. And once a year, we act like we were glad you were born. You always want to bomb the Middle East. On the weekend, we could be cutting grass or planting trees. With your girlfriend, we could learn to read and write in Portuguese or Korean. But you always want to bomb the Middle East. You always wanna bomb the Middle East on vacation when we could just write a poem or recline in frustration. You could occupy the park across the street with a squirt gun, but you always wanna bomb the Middle East.
Thank you, comrades. You're listening to Radical Radio 3CR and the Fire Up MUA program. You're with Rob, Dave, Aaron, and Dean, and we're here discussing all the issues that are important to the MUA, and we're going to go into some industrial reports.
Just before we do, Dave, you didn't tell us who was Cheekface. Mate, where do you find this stuff?
You haven't heard of Cheek Face? Everyone's heard of Cheek Face.
Everyone's heard of Cheek Face.
Oh, really?
Where you been living, comrade?
Living under a rock. Sorry.
Into the 21st century, comrade.
You mean there's bands out there other than ACDC and the Stones?
No, apparently.
There's more than two bands.
There is.
Vicious allegations, huh?
We do want to talk a little bit about DP World. I know we've been thrashing this out, but it is a major issue for us, and there's some meetings taking place this week in Sydney as we speak.
Yeah. As we speak, we'll be in meeting with the company around automation. So it'll be the first of, I assume, many intensive discussions that we're kicking off today. And that's because the EA that we are governed by has an automation clause which compels the company to come and meet with us before the implementation, and we're saying that they need to reach agreement with us. And that process now will be worked out over the coming months. So it's the first, and like today, we'll be putting forward, I guess, a number of positions on behalf of MUA members. But the key one and the overarching claim is that there'll be no automation without agreement. However, regardless of our position, DP World has seemed to push ahead, and now automation proposals will occur in all four of their ports. Previously, they were isolated to the East Coast, but this week they've informed us that they are now looking to put in the automated horizontal transport in Fremantle as well. Fremantle was already subject to a level of automation by the retrofitting of their cranes to be able to be driven remotely, but now they want to put in the automated horizontal transports similar to Melbourne, Sydney and Fisherman's Island as well. So now all four terminals are subject to the same proposals, and we, I guess, need to reiterate that these technologies are not there to benefit the community of Fremantle or Western Australia or Victoria or Sydney or Brisbane, that they are only there to try and cut out union jobs. The company has been very open with us that they're not going to speed up truck turnaround time, so you're not going to get your goods any faster once they hit our shore. They're not going to make the crane rate any faster, so we're not going to get them any quicker off your things quicker off the ship. It's just simply about cutting union jobs.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
Union busting.
They keep hiding behind this word that they're seeking efficiencies, but
that's called making the company more money.
Yeah, when pressed on what those efficiencies are, they're payroll efficiencies, and that's about it.
Mm.
They've paid little or no tax in this country for umpteen years, and now want to go and take out jobs, and that's, you know, we met with the Minister for Ports here and that, and we, you know, raised these concerns, and that's money that's not going into the Victorian economy. You know, these people don't spend money. These
robots.
Well, robots don't
AI.
Spend money.
The 30 people that may or 30 or 40, however many redundancies might come out of it, you know, they don't spend money. Those people now are going to be out of, and that's just to make the Dubai family more money.
Yeah.
And they won't pay any tax on it.
It's outrageous.
It's outrageous.
Dubai ports are doing that.
If the Liberal Party was in power, they'd be okay with it. But if they were in power and we were blocking technology that would increase productivity, they'd say, oh, the MUA's at it again.
Yeah.
Here's a company wanting to simply increase their profits and take away jobs and productivity. They've actually said it is a chance it'll reduce productivity.
Yeah.
You know.
And we know. If they're admitting that there's a chance it will reduce productivity, the effects are going to be way worse. And we have seen the practical, the reality of the implementation of this sort of technology. We've got it. It's happened around the country. It halves the gross moves per hour. It blows out truck turnaround times, and it's just madness that it's going to be allowed to be rolled out in our country. Well, it could be allowed to be rolled out in our country.
It's funny, you know, because it's like they want to have only rich people and robots because obviously in the old argument it was, oh, look, customers, you're going to get your things sooner, or you're stopping products getting off the ports and stuff like that. But now the customers aren't even important. It's just interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
The workers and the customers, only rich people and robots.
Rich people and robots, that's all they want.
No, we're neither.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's going to be...
Hardly anybody...
What does that lead to? What does that actually lead to down the track? You know, that's not good for anyone.
No.
Bloody hell.
Running headfirst into a dead end, really.
Not that.
So we should, you're going to hear a lot about automation from us, I guess, over the next couple of years, because it's going to be a massive issue for our union and for our membership, and it's obviously a problem for all society. AI is going to be, you know, it's slowly encroaching on all our jobs. So it is a battle, and I'm sure all the unions will get on board at some stage. We'll move on to the TT Line, update on the TT Line vessels. I can report that Spirit 4 is in Hobart getting fitted with Tasmanian tabletops and mattresses and whatever else they can get from the Tasmanian community to, you know, give it that Tassie flavour. It's
they all double beds, double mattresses.
One for each head. You really?
I might have walked you into it, but gee, where's Dino? This doesn't get.
I'd say that. I'd say that about our Tassie comrades.
You get two pillows. That's all. We'll give you two.
There's a lot of Victorians on the vessel too. Anyway, it will then go to Port Henry in Geelong to sit alongside of Port Henry until I think October next year, when they believe the wharf will be ready in Devonport to service the ship.
And what sort of crewing, Dave?
We're negotiating with TT Line regarding the crew numbers. They wanted to cut it right down to just three: one officer, one engineer, one IR. But we've managed to push it up to about six. But we're still not happy. We want one more IR on it. And in fairness, you know, the vessel blew off the wharf in Leith in Scotland when it was in a lock in a very protected area. Port Henry is quite exposed, and it's a huge vessel. So, I mean, at a minimum, TT Line would be crazy not to put a good, safe crew on it. Check it out, see how it's going. And if it's going fine and they think they can reduce a crew, they can come and talk to us. That is, of course, we'll say no.
Absolutely mad that you would have a vessel worth that much money and you're like, wow, well, hope the wind doesn't
cut
blow
it back
around.
By one. Cut it back by one.
Let's save $8 on a multi, tens of millions of dollar asset.
But of course, TT Line
rush. Isn't it a passenger ship? Is it a passenger ship or just?
It is.
It'll be void of passengers for the time being, Annie, so.
Yeah, there won't be any passengers.
Well, they wait for the wharf to be built in
Devonport.
Well, you talk about wharves, and you know they've already that monumental, call it what you like, in Devonport. Port Henry's quite an old wharf there.
It is quite an old wharf. They do tie ships up on it from time to time.
They do, yeah.
But this is different. This is the biggest ship that I've tied up there for a long, long time.
It might blow away and take the wharf with it.
It could. Oh. It could. But I'm sure it'll attract a lot of it.
If we had six IRs on there, that would never happen.
That's right.
I guarantee you.
But it will attract a lot of attention from the people in Geelong. So I'm sure the community of Geelong are looking forward to being tied up there. And I'm sure they'll all go out to have a sticky peek. But and then the other vessel, Spirit 5, is being picked up from Finland and taken to Scotland again for until May next year. So it's going to be alongside in May next year. So TT Line all of a sudden have four ships that they need crews for, although it's not the number of crew that sail the Spirit from Tassie to Victoria every day. They are reduced crew numbers. But, yeah, so TT Line are struggling, you can imagine. They're struggling financially and they're struggling with organising all this stuff. But
got a commitment from the current Tasmanian government, have they?
I'm not sure.
Are they due for another election there?
Yeah, no, I think it's settled down a little bit. But anyway, the MUA will do their piece in making sure that those jobs are secure and the members have secure jobs and safe jobs. So, and just quickly, a quick diversion. TT Line, the EA, we have been going to and fro with the company. We're trying to roll it over for 12 months. They have put an offer on the table that we think's potentially reasonable, but we need to get the member feedback and hopefully we'll get that endorsed and that'll give us a chance to start negotiating a new agreement early next year. And that's for both the terminal workers, which is on a separate EA, and the ship going EA. So
speaking of EAs, mate, you walk straight out of the surf and straight back into Lynx.
Yes, we're off to in Adelaide this week with the Lynx
sweatsuit on.
The Lynx National EA. That's at the pointy end of negotiations too. Hopefully we'll get an agreement in Adelaide this week, although there is an outstanding issue regarding workers' compensation and our members' ability to have access to the rostered leave while on workers' compensation. Unfortunately, the legislation doesn't necessarily support that, but we think it's a fair outcome and we want members to be able to have their roster time off. They rely on their roster time off. You know, single parent families, they have these rosters in place so they can look after their kids. And it's a sticking point, and Lynx need to come to the table and tick off on this last main issue. Otherwise, it's just drafting, and hopefully we can get that done.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
Very good. Earlier this week, we had, I just want to make note that earlier this week at the veterans meeting on Monday, we had Glenn Woods, who's the National Secretary of the Veterans. We had him and Bobby Lee in town, which was fantastic to welcome them. Welcome them to our vets, which is a fantastic meeting of about 30 of our vets all get together. So those two guys came down and addressed the vets and spent some time on their own. So fantastic to see those two guys here.
Time from the workforce, not the struggle.
Exactly.
We have got a great vets committee down here in Melbourne led by Davey Cushion. So
and yep.
Johnny Higgins,
Kev.
And of course, Roger Wilson. All the best to Roger Wilson, yep. Who's a bit crook at the moment. Yep. All right, comrades, we've ran out of time. Hope you enjoyed our show. We're going to stick with Checkface, that well-known group, going out with a song called Don't Stop Believing.
Thanks, comrades. Have a great day.
Comrades.
Hey, comrades.
Here comes a sermon on forgiveness. Here comes another hill for you to climb. You're a special guy, you have lots of talents. You should wear a seatbelt, it could save your life. We hum through our days of constant striving, and everybody seems to hum in time. The lies come free, the truth's behind a paywall for $1.99.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast, produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.